Okay, yep, let's see. Now, we'll bring back Corbin. Corbin's our resident specialist and expert. Corbin, can you supplement what we've said here? What thoughts come to you?
I have several thoughts, and you cut me off, and you had me muted the whole time so I can spontaneously interact. But let's get down to brass tacks, so to speak. Rance Muhammad. And then Jimmy Carl Black says, I don't care what we do. I'll do anything just to get paid. And,
so long as I get paid and get a beer.
And he goes, I need a drop of your blood. And he goes, yeah, a pen. Well, hand me that pencil. Hand me that pencil.
Pencil. Give me that last pencil. Yeah, pencil. Oh, you got
a pencil, Ion? Where's the pencil, Ion? No, Bob. It is not a pencil.
Martin Lickert is Ringo Starr's chauffeur. He played bass, and Frank, during the interview, said he actually was quite capable of covering the parts, which were extremely difficult. He also, during the short hour movie documentary of the true story of 200 motels, he had a thing in there where he had built this penis mobile. A penis mobile, like a car, a giant penis, essentially. Now that everybody's destroying the planet with their car and they have to get places, he had the precision to look ahead and say, wait a minute, you're not only screwing over the earth, you're going to road rage, you are a driving dick.
Want a dick,
and
yes, want a dick.
That will be procreation. All the penises that the guys have between their legs, they're all going towards you ladies. Oh, hi, I really like you. You're really smart. I find you so intellectually stimulating, and I wouldn't want sex. I would not want sex, but instead I have this penis mobile between my legs, and it may last about 5 seconds, and you know, you're like, is that what you have? Hey, I ran out of gas. We got to go back to the gas station, and then condoms are always at the gas station, so hey, your STD awareness.
Look at the Ion. I've never had to fight to get in. You're in the mix here, Ion.
Corbin and Ion. I got to ask you the question.
Yes.
I watched this crazy, awesome movie today. It had Woody Allen in it. It was Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex. And what's the rest of the title?
And We're Afraid to Ask.
And We're Afraid
to Ask.
It said, and we're too, and dot, dot, dot. And I couldn't. And it was filmed in 70. Hilarious. You guys are talking about the penis mobile, and I'm thinking about that huge tit that was on the loose that Woody Allen's character had to...
Oh, yes.
Only he knew how to stop the terror of the tit that was loose. Yeah.
right.
But he had his penis mobile.
And now, that is another thing that is, especially in a capitalistic society, they make such a big deal about breasts. What's so beautiful about women's breasts is the areola, the nipple, and it is, it feeds babies, and it serves a certain purpose. It is fruition. It is a woman's fertility. Now,
Okay, Bob, either you push it or we will. You'll get the crew all round up before the fireside chat. No good things will come of this. Just so you know, that's for a little later in the show.
You're saying nothing will come from Corbin? Is that what you're saying, Ion? Nothing will come good of the confusion right now. Getting them all excited
too early in the night.
It's too many sexual innuendos that are not very innuendated.
Yeah, you know, I apologize.
Penises and
the
condoms, airbags,
nipples,
fucking, all kind of stuff going on. They should be dogs together. It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. They ramble on and on and on, trying to figure out something. Everybody's all frustrated. And half of the ones that really good at the orgy, they ain't in here yet. They don't come till later because we don't do this early.
That's for a little later.
But it's the first day of summer.
Well, that's a solstice, all right. You'll find out. It's not a problem.
So I have to keep you in my pants, Zion.
Well, you do that. Do that.
I'm gladly.
You can read about it in the New York Times in the morning, and a good time was had by all.
All right, so let's get back to what I was saying.
Not such a good time was remembered by Corbin.
If you pull the tip just right, the ass will squeeze up a little bit. If the ass squeeze up a little bit, then it goes into a connection. And then the little pernil,
don't be afraid to use
space right between the two. Yeah. That's right. And then right space right between the two, the pernil.
Let me put it in perspective for you. He says the very size of the titties themselves can cause subconscious awareness of feelings.
That makes it subconscious.
Right. Yeah, Corbin, back to the tiz and the ain't. And you want to get in the middle there to the taint. I think Ion was telling you about this, right? Not the tiz and not the ain't, but you right in the middle of the taint.
And always remember, if you're going with us, go strong or don't go at all.
A woman's mammaries or whatever, the mamas, the mammaries, they are either too big, too large.
For the
mammaries.
Tits, mammaries. Okay, the poop.
Are you talking about
too
breast
big,
tissue?
Too
what are you talking about, Corbin?
I'm talking about
it's so bizarre to me because before you had a million words to describe a nipple, and now
inadequacy. You would feel that your dick is too
big.
Yeah. Like the guy on Fight Club. The guy on Fight Club that took all the anti-convulsant medications. And
keep in mind, when he focuses on the beer bottle, he's focusing on a parameter of consciousness that is the lowest common denominator that is most responsible for the overpopulation of the planet, the overflowing of the guff, alcohol. You know, spirits are gladly enjoyed, your initiation.
You think it's funny, but I want to hear what you say.
He's putting them diametrically opposed.
Alcohol. Cherry a week.
Now, why is China, they had the one child law, now they have the two child law. If you're a higher
they make
up,
their alcohol out of rice, Corbin.
Yes, they do. That's my point.
I knew
okay,
it.
Okay, Corbin.
It,
Corbin went off topic, so I have to mute
him. Cut him to the chase.
I think we should let Katie, or I'm going to mute Sarah for a second.
That was funny. It would be funnier if it weren't so sad, but it was funny.
No, it was not sad. It was funny. It was not sad. Now, we have Greg and Ginny here. We have Allison. We have Leon.
We love us some Ginny Bell. Mm-mm.
Did Ginny got any questions? She hadn't been here for weeks. You have something you want to address Ion with, Ginny?
Hi, Ion.
Hey, Ginny Bell, how's tricks?
Tricky.
Good, good, good. Keep them jumping, honey. That's the way to go.
That's right. No, life is good. How have you been?
Very non-physical, baby.
Allison, check your volume there. Allison, you may be leaking stuff in. I'm not sure if it's you. Maybe it's Susanna down in Dallas. Let's mute her and see if that works.
Pat Bob. I miss Brooks. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Ginny, you have nothing to say? Ginny blew her voice.
Hey, hold on. No, she didn't. She's all right. It's all right. Hey, Ginny, let's have some phatic communion. Y'all too?
Okay. Y'all too? Sure.
Y'all too? Okay. Now, this thing called ascension, do you have an idea maybe of what we say when we say, hey, Ginny, are you ascending? Tell us what you think that means.
Becoming.
Is that you're not evolving, but becoming. So that means you're going to come by and you be at it. So you do. So you do come.
You do come. You is and you are and you become.
So if you do come, you'd be a do-comer.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Very good. A do-comer.
And also it's spelled D-U-E, by the by.
Oh, a do-comer, D-U-E-comer. Okay.
You know the difference between perspirations and things they call that you wear in the winter called a sweater?
One
perspirates is a sweater, and in the wintertime you put on a sweater.
Ah.
No, we're just asking the question. See, y'all using these wordy words, and they're wordy words, and they word and word. And in the
Gutenberg galaxy, from communication and the lack thereof, from a Walter Cronkite standpoint, you must know that the media ecology that is precluded in any conversation has to do with the associated biases that would be included in the conversations, whether part of the conversation or not.
Talk about leptin. Is leptin a master hormone? The leptin, is it a master hormone? Is it a regulator of hormones? Is it a factor in weight loss, weight gain?
No. Now, if you're trying to get to the resistance of it, that's a little different.
Which complement formula is most likely to address leptin resistance and balance it out?
RNA. You know the issue, the leptin is like, that's the association with the cortisol. And trying to say you're hungry, saying you're not hungry, that it's time to eat, it's not time to eat. Forget all that. It's not even about that. It's about the hypothalamus and how this hypothalamus controls your temperature. Because your temperature in your engaging of calories is why you engage it in the first place. It's not about insulin. We're sorry. We already had this conversation. Not about insulin or the lack of how you process it. That has nothing to do with being morbid obese because it doesn't apply. They don't have anything to do with each other at all. The leptin receptor signaling is nothing other than the shift of the hypothalamus within the renals.
You talk about chromosome 14, the hypothalamus, when that's wide open, chromosome 14 will just run.
Define run.
Rip rings and arms and unlimited replication.
Perfect replication.
There you go.
Okay, so then how you'll prove that is you'll have an inverted triglyceride blood count. When they do a lipid panel, your triglycerides will go through the floor when your leptin is engaged.
I made a prediction a while ago, and I'd like to see if that's occurring. I believe that looking for this flight 370 after getting some distinctive pingings, I think a couple of months ago, they flooded this area of the Indian Ocean, and I said, well, they're going to find a black box and a voice data recorder, and upon close investigation, they're going to find out it's not registered from an airplane in this world. Has that occurred?
Yes. And here's the rest of the story is that they have such a tight control. See, they don't even know why they use black boxes. If you look at the history, they don't apply. It doesn't work. That technology came from another world anyway for just such a day like this. You have too many walk-ins, too many watchers.
But I'm not sure how that would relate to a black box being found in a plane.
The technology came from another world, so it's not so predominant here. That's why it doesn't exactly work. Okay, you find the data recorder. You can't hurt them. You can't do it. But guess what? They don't even know how exactly to read all the data. They have the technology, but they don't even know how to read all the data. Because it'll gauge other worlds. They don't know how to do that. Now, they do have information, and they do know that it just vanished, because you can find it. You can find it. But we all said that all it had to do was put AARP on it, and they'd find the airplane. But they can find anybody. They can find anybody.
Is this world here have a distinct designation to the other worlds that you give names to?
Yes.
Do the other worlds all know this world by it? No, so it's all a different name to different worlds.
Yes.
Like in 1744, they would call this one thing, and in world 2011, they would call this a different world. Okay, so it's not a singularity.
And in other worlds, this would be Cornwell. It depends. It's all relative. That's how we give you a little room, because we know all, but we know all regarding every aspect of all. That's different, because then you know the big picture. The big picture, you're not so quick to rush in. As a song says, fools rush in. No reason to get too excited about it. It's all good.
Okay, well, along that thread, you know, sometime in the past, I'd woken up in the middle of the night, thrown up, went, oh, that's interesting, went back to bed, and it was me eating bad oysters or mussels in another world. And you had cautioned me on how to tell a mussel was good. Well, at this point, is there anything that I am experiencing now that I haven't already worked out in other worlds in my future present?
Your focus. You're busy wanting to be a part, and you already are. You're busy wanting to be, do, and have. You already are. So the focus of the attention of to focus is, if you're short anywhere or figuring out anywhere, it would be the focus, a driver. Are you trying to hit the ball perfectly, or are you trying to put the ball in the hole? Which is it?
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay.
You're playing the game either way, doing a great job. Fabulous handicap. But the question is, are you trying to make the perfect swing, or are you trying to put the little ball in the hole?
Well, it's and, depending upon what the application is, of course, but it's both do apply.
Focus. You already applied, and it's a funny thing, though. You desperately want to conclude, but you don't. You want to get there, but you don't want to arrive. That's interesting. And fun, because you're going whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Hang on. As long as you don't activate the dark horse, you're going to be all right.
Sure. It's the focus of what occurs after the ball goes in the hole also, just as relevant as the ball going in the hole. What do you do?
Here's the question now. Is it the front nine or the back nine? If it's the front nine, you just play the next nine. If it's the back nine, then you pick the next course. So it's where you are in a fire. If you're asking us, which you did, and we're answering, which we are, if there's something that's not solved yet for you, it's your determined focus. It's how your drive or focus.
To focus on putting the ball in the hole, you focus on the perfect swing. Is that not correct? Or do you ignore the perfect swing and just focus on the ball in the hole?
That's the ball in the hole, and that rest will catch itself up because you get lost in the swing. You get lost in the swing, and that's the point. You can have the perfect swing, and if the ball doesn't go in the hole, nobody notices that. You want to land it. The grandest direction in the world won't get you any far. It's the coitus and the completion is where you're trying to arrive to. So focus on the nut, and the rest will catch itself up.
Ion, is that C the ball, B the ball?
No, that's just known as balling. Do you want to prove your swing, or do you want to prove your handicap?
I really just want to improve how many times the
ball
goes in the hole.
No. Wait, no, you want an exegesis. You want an exegesis. You just want to apply it to what you already know. You're not trying to implode a proof. then you get candida. If you improve, you get yeast. Don't do it. Because, see, now you're basing that you have a set point that you're trying to make better, and we say, there's your trouble.
Now, Ion, what did you mean by candida? Were you referring to Voltaire's candide, or explain?
Nice.
Yeast, a form or type of yeast located on the dermis of the skin.
But candide is essentially, Voltaire, he describes, he says, it's a French novel, if I'm mistaken. Give me the background on it. What he explains is everybody is miserable. He walks all around. Pangloss is his master or whatever. And he says, Pangloss, why are people so unhappy? You know, why is there such chaos in this world? Why is there war? Why is there this? Why is there that? He has a million questions for Pangloss, and Pangloss is kind of like Ion, where he won't give you a straight answer on any goddamn thing.
We gave you the perfect answer. We're waiting on the question.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to ask the question properly in order to get the correct answer. So essentially, Candide did not ask the question correctly. Therefore, Pangloss was basically confused, and he couldn't relate. And being as there was such an age difference or such a experiential, exponential difference between the both of them, their worlds were so far apart. Would you answer this, because they've been talking about Einstein had postulated that essentially once you get at light speed, time essentially stops. But the problem seems to be that in order to maintain light speed, well, you've already said there is no time, but the energy it would take to get to that speed is not time, I take it.
It must be. Otherwise, how do you gauge it? You're speaking the difference between velocity and amplitude. There's a difference there. But that's timing. So there is no speed of light. Light doesn't race.
So you're telling me there is no truth to that if you were to reach the point of no time, it would not be at the speed of light.
Light has no velocity, no propensity to velocity. To gauge it means it's a reference. The same way when you look in the mirror, you're looking into the past because that's the history.
Can you further elaborate on that?
Time the light waves go from the rods and cones from the mirror to the eye to capture your image. That's past, because that image is already gone.
Isn't the past, present, and future happening at once?
Not for you. You are still trying to prove the light field of time.
No, I'm just asking this question because Einstein postulated it, and I'm wondering if there's any truth to it. You would say no.
No, it's a bunch of drivel. Now, if you want to call on the resting soul of Galileo, king of night vision, king of insight, now that's a very different conversation. There you go.
Okay.
I was talking to Ian last night about Galileo, very important person, more than people realize. He did many things, not just, you know, put stuff off the Tower of Pizza. So anybody got any questions?
What?
You?
What?
Now,
what about the Salvador's deli?
There were bird droppings on Galileo's pizza.
What about Copernicus? Did Copernicus put the pepperoni on the droppings from Galileo?
No, he was busy giving fellatio to the queen.
Oh, what? Yes.
Wait.
Just remember,
I missed out on this.
Just remember, when you get an age and you get too old to cut the mustard, always remember to be sure and lick the jar.
Lick the jar.
One of my earliest missions, I was a dump boy for Princess Diana when they had her killed in the tunnel. When they had her killed in the tunnel, they had me, or I had delivered to her, not dead or not, I had delivered to her some cocaine. She was about to give me fellatio, and then her bodyguards got paranoid and shuffled me off in a different car. The media and everyone followed me, and then they disappeared her. So obviously, she still is alive.
Did you get paid for the blow?
It's the death train. Ion's driving. Ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. And please remember to form your answer in the form of a question.
Ion, the other week you gave us the frequency for fa sol la, and you said ascended bodies have a specific frequency. And
yes.
From Ginny, I learned that the perfected spell is 6.944.
Yes. Now, see, we said Ginny Bell would know. Ginny Bell's on all this kind of good stuff.
Can you tell us the current frequency that we're vibrating on?
No, we can't, because you've got to change pi. Pi is 3.14159266666, and it just goes on. But it goes on, just never ends. But it's going to change. Once the pi changes, that changes the amplitude. Once the amplitude changes and sets it, the frequency gets tighter, gets closer together. So the pitches are higher, which will change. You can't gauge it presently. Once that new media applies, then what happens is it's a shift or a change. A shift or a change, then you're looking at it from a different bias. So your amplitude is gauged from a point. Same way when you do sine or cosine. Cosine is starting from -1. Sine is a 0 or a +1. It's actually 0. Then that makes the whole thing different from where you're starting. Do you see? So that's changing. So you cannot gauge your frequency now, because the amplitude isn't set yet.
And embracing fa sol la, the more I listen, the more we listen to Cold Mountain, it helps our frequency. It helps raise it.
Actually, you need like a dough. When you're raising dough, need it to make it more cohesive. You actually go to a fa sol la singing and get in the middle of the square. Get into the square and lead a song. And then when they sing, that's when you reach that convergence. Four square. In a city that is built four square. Four square is the setup for fa sol la, the sacred harp. You get in the middle of that. Now, the reason you do that is like if you're sick, that's when you go do that. But if you're doing right, you should never be sick. If Dr. Dean can't help you, well, if Dr. Dean can help you, you're pretty well screwed. But minus that, if you still want to hang on to something, then go to the fa sol la and get in and ask if you can help lead a song with somebody and lead the song. You got to participate, because that's what sets it. And it'll shift and change your frequency. Get your freak on.
Well, singing along with Cold Mountain, the more I hear it, the more I enjoy listening to it.
Oh, ain't it wonderful? Go to Shoal Creek. The Shoal Creek singing. It's on your boot, too. If you look real close, it's probably on our channel, on our YouTube channel. How Ionic 2010.
Hey, Ion, Kiki's wants to kill himself. He's in great pain. He's typing away on the
channel. Fabulous. That's wonderful. Put him on. We'll kill him.
He wanted me to ask you what to do about his pain.
Embrace it. He didn't ask us any goddamn questions when he was fucking everything up. Why should we help him now?
Kiki says, I'm 31 years old. I never want anything or anyone to keep. The only reset this cursed body could do is find a new life by ending this one.
Okay. Knock it up. Bang it up, baby. Boom, boom, boom. Get you some Yo Gotti. Didn't you play it tonight, Bob? I'm sure they probably put him over the edge.
It. I did play. Yeah,
isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? That's wonderful.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Right. And Kiki says he's all excited. He goes,
6 exclamation marks because we talked about them. Then he goes, how do I do it? How do I kill myself?
You already have. You're dead waiting. The disease is waiting to claim the body. The point is that if you're noticing something, hey, Bob, why don't we sign him up for the Lazarus Project? We've got a couple of folks in there. Let's go ahead and kill him so we can bring him back this time. You don't have to go. At least he'll be important then. You can't run around here doing whatever you want to do. You can't run around here setting up for all these monikers of your pleasure and your bliss and playing on our side, coming back along thinking you're all grown up. No, you get to get it right. Line it back up. Follow your bliss. Find your best. Live your life. Get happy or get out. The feeling that you're feeling right now is because you played the fool. Now you got a choice. Either bring that back and find some way to get happy and line yourself back up with yourself, or hang on, it'll be over for you very soon. And we've still been better to you than you've ever deserved. Still. So
we loved him more than he ever knew.
So far. Now, here's the good news. We know how this goes out, so everything's okay. Don't you worry about a thing. But the point is, at some point, you must start this ascension. At some point, you must. You can't stand it. You can't stand it. You can't stand it. You can never go back. We knew you were going to come. We knew you were going to come. We knew you were going to do what you did. We know. We knew. If Bob was on cue, that's when you'd start the dark horse. And there is no karma, but you all sure do serve one. We want to put it in a coma.
Any other topics?
So on that column, man, put a check mark in the eat shit and die column. That's on the other side of it. The balance then becomes, if you can't find a reason worth living, then don't. And if you're looking for attention, something that needs attending to attend, go to a rock concert. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have your complete autonomy and do any fucking thing you want to do any way you want to and then expect the whole wide world to yield and capitulate to your sadness. Oh, we have got an Eeyore complex. I'm so sorry. Not about that. Get on with it. Nuts. Love, labor is lost. Lather, rinse, repeat.
Okay, assholes. If I can just start getting on to another topic, don't waste your time here.
Who is the I Am speaking in the Gnostic poem Thunder Perfect Mind?
You. The I Am. It's just the purpose from, this also goes back from the thought side of trying to get you through the holes of the mente. That's the I Am. I Am. Who do you say that I am? I am.
Because it's kind of contrary. It's supposed to be, you know, it sounds like a female talking, like this is Isis or Athena or somebody like that.
You have both male and female. They give us a hard time, too, with that crap. But we pitching and catching all the time, so it's no issue to us.
There's parts of the Gnostic text that are missing or damaged or whatever. Would there be any interest in filling those in, you know, or I guess it was on papyrus or scrolls. I don't know if they were damaged in the Nag Hammadi library.
Go to Bob's library. He's got most of it.
Yeah, we get all
that. Oh, really?
Stuff. Who's this?
You speaking? Do? Okay. This is Heather.
I'll make a note of it. Heather asks about Gnostic Gospels.
She wants the Simonese text, what she's looking for, Bob. Back left corner. The one you never, that place you never go.
Where Carol's books are.
Yeah.
So you have the complete, the whole undamaged text of the Gnostic library?
Of course. By Ion. I don't collect that kind of stuff. It's obsolete. Okay. I have Ion. So you have Ion. You can ask Ion right now.
So is there any value in that in terms of ascension?
Oh, not at all. For ascension.
Nothing at all, Heather.
Not at all.
Well, you just mentioned kind of the Emerald Tablets in there, too, a second ago. So
you've done those already.
Yeah, we did those, but I don't know if this is, if the Gnostic texts are any kind of add-on, or why were they saved, or why were they found if they weren't, you know, in some way important.
Well, they're just fixing to be written.
By who?
By whom?
By whom?
Get your grammar right.
See, when it's the object of the preposition, it must be whom.
No, we're working on that. You ever read that book by Eric Davis, Technosis?
No.
That probably would show how the old Gospels are obsolete, rather limited. Technosis.
Right. Well, has anybody asked yet? Because I didn't hear the first part of this call about the purple blood, or the blood was supposed to turn purple, and I don't know.
Yeah, and did anybody's blood turn purple? Heather's on this. She's been asking all week.
Is it in the visible spectrum of things we can see that it's purple, or is it purple in another way?
What about purple is not purple? Purple's purple.
Whose blood is purple then, now?
Lots of folks. The emails are coming in all the time. See, Bob's just playing with you.
No, I'm not. Come on, thrust it. Thrust away, Heather. Put on that macho penis mobile and get in there.
Have you had your blood drawn lately?
Not with her, Heather.
Heather, have you had your blood drawn lately?
I get it drawn once a year, usually in August. You know, it's just her personnel, whatever, big screen, all that type of stuff.
When you had your last blood drawn before you were taking the drops. Now, we're talking about pre-108.
Before Generation 108.
Oh, no, no, I haven't, yeah.
Okay, good. So the last time you saw your blood drawn, what color was it? How did it look? Describe it exactly.
Bright red, kind of dark.
Oh, wait, is it bright or dark?
Well, this is a long time ago, but dark red, I guess.
Okay. So describe your blood.
Blood now?
Then.
Just bright red. Just bright red.
Okay. Now you're fixing to have a blood draw in August. Compare it then.
Okay. I just got some renew in your
batch. Oh, good. It'll be good. Now, tell us about the taste. The taste. You all have biases about taste, and it's completely inappropriate and wrong, but we want to help it. Tell us about the taste. We want to talk about this in creation. There's a quiz.
Taste of what?
Relight.
Salty. It tastes really strong, but it's good.
Strong. Describe strong.
Salty
like the sea, or salty like over-salted mashed potatoes?
But I guess the sea.
Bitter?
Yeah, it might have some bitter.
If you changed it, how would you change it?
I don't know why I need to change it.
Good. Now, see, when we ask the degree of separation question, you really can't get an answer, can you? Do you see how it works? The degree of separation... You can't get there. You can very easily end in a rabbit hole that you can't land anywhere. That's why we don't engage them, and sometimes we do it from here. Now, if we're going to tell you this is why something occurs, okay, then that's fine. That's different. Okay, but this that you're not normally when you're engaging degrees of separation, you're trying to find some nebulous nowhere place that you can't seem to get to from there. So, you know, there you go.
I've got this new thing of renew. Where can I rub it on my mom? We were talking a couple weeks ago about kind of has a similar case. She can't walk. She had a stroke on her left side. So I'm rubbing it in her palms and her feet. Is there anywhere else?
No. Get it on her wrist or her synovial gland and ride it. Okay. Do you know where the first dorsal is on her back? Get between 1 and 2. You can go to WebMD or ask Dr. Dean exactly where it is.
Sure.
But it's the top of the neck, first and second bone, right there. What we're trying to do is right there.
And the synovial glands are the bumps on your wrist where it meets your arm.
That's where it lubricates for your joints. That's very important because you want to get in her lipids. Okay, now here's a question. Does she want to regain her mobility?
I think she thinks she can't because she has stroke, and that, you know, you don't see people do that after they've been, you know.
Yeah, there's your trouble. So what you got to do is you got to take it out of the mind.
Whatever I've done isn't working, so I'm just trying to think of some other way that I can help her be able to walk again or her kidneys to work again.
It's not your job to do that, number one. Number two, she has to decide. If she has a longing to do that, starve her. Make her have to go get it. If she gets angry enough, she'll forget and she'll go get it. That doesn't mean you won't catch hell for it, but sometimes you got to razz it up a little.
What have you done so far for your mom?
It's been like 7 years or something since she had her stroke, so she's just in her power chair in her bed. Whatever physical therapy she did, you know, right afterwards or whatever, it just didn't work. And I don't know, maybe she doesn't want to. I mean, it's not my job to put, you know, upon her if she doesn't want to, but I would like her to.
The simplest things are to put Remag and Relight in her water.
I do, yeah. I stick that in her juice or whatever, you know.
Right, and then RNA drops in her mouth if she can, and realign either the capsule or open them up. I mean, just do the complement formulas, and if she isn't shifting with that, then to me that implies she really doesn't want to have any shift in what she's experiencing now.
She definitely doesn't want to die because she's nearly
dying. You're making it too easy for her to be an invalid. Stop it. Don't be an empower. Just like it's not your job to save her, it's not your job to tend to it either. So, what Dr. Dean is saying, what have you done so far? And so we say you've enabled, and that's okay, because you love your mother and you want to help her every way you can, and blah, 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 blah. Now, you want to shift or a change, and you, so she may not even be aware that that shift or change works. So what happens now is you get the ability, capacity, or tenaciously be able to say, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, wouldn't it be nice if includes getting up and going for yourself, walking, doing your stuff.
Because I've been, you know, the good cop and I've been the bad cop, so I've neither one of those has worked.
How'd that work for you?
Well, it didn't.
Okay. So that's right. You don't need the police. If you're not the police, don't be the police. You don't need the police. Let her decide. Encourage and love her, just like she does. She loves you unconditionally.
Heather might think that doing these things is a way you express love. How are you having her express love? If she doesn't do any of that, how does she? She just says little words, oh, I love you? Is that all that's required?
No.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
at all. Do the, no, no. You're saying yeah, yeah. We say no, no. Do what you do, okay? Do what you do. But then if you're expecting it, if you're doing it for an expectation, then if you don't get that expectation, don't do it anymore. Mother, I'm going to feed you, but I want you to walk. Oh, I can't walk. Okay, I'm not going to feed you. I love you, but I'm not going to feed you. Well, I'll starve, but you still won't have to walk. Either way, it works itself out. Now,
right.
You understand I'm being ridiculous. You get that, right?
Right.
But that's not the point. The point is that what you're doing so far hasn't worked. So mix it up a little bit. Why not time for have a little chat, have a talk, figure out what she's trying to do. What would you like? What do you desire? Have her come talk to us, and we'd say, wither on up and die, or get on with your life.
Yeah, we've heard all that before. Hey, Katie, would you like to talk about Don Thiel or whatever you're interested in with ION?
Well, you know, I worked on my TV pitch all week.
Yeah.
But turned it in tonight at 8 o'clock. I got feedback and he loved it.
Do you have any questions about it with ION?
Do you have any suggestions for changes that I could make to the TV pitch that I wrote to make the science fiction element more science fiction-y?
You got to develop it a little bit because it's not science fiction-y now.
And I just wanted to thank you so much for all your help over the last few weeks. It's been so fun. I really appreciate it. That's been really delicious.
Good. Describe your deliciousness.
everything's just really fulfilling and vivid and smooth and easy and delightful and pleasant.
That sounds like rice pudding. Do you like rice pudding?
It could be rice. I don't particularly like it, but I do make it for my husband because he likes it.
Okay, and the reason is this way you're describing it, that's why you don't like it. That's why you're looking for something different. But you write it.
Say more about that.
You write rice pudding, but you don't like it. Change it. Put science in your fiction. Drive your biases to a conclusion. Just do any crazy thing you want. It doesn't have to be Poe-ish, but you can certainly take it on a macabre streak if you'd like.
Okay, and I do.
Really? If you put white truffles in the rice pudding, you might like it.
Katie, maybe you get more energized talking to me. Is there anything you've been reading, or are you too involved? Any Bob topics you want to do?
Yeah, I was involved in that, and now I feel like I know what it's going to take, so I'm not going to get so depleted and caught up in that process anymore.
No, that's not smart. You're getting distracted by your stupid TV pitch. That's not that important. What you do here is what's important.
There are a lot of things that are more important than that, and it really has taken up a lot of time over the past couple of weeks that it didn't even need to. Yeah, it didn't even need to take up that much time. I made a way bigger deal out of it than I needed to.
Don't you want to be on Ed's blog? Katie discusses Thomas Pynchon with Bob. Isn't that more important than any TV show, which once you write it, they will take it from you? You'll have no say in it?
Yes.
Yep. That's the right answer.
I don't have much to say this week. I need to get back in my...
Yeah, you haven't been doing your work.
Playing.
You've been playing.
No.
You've been diddling. Diddling.
Yeah. Did you say biblically? Did you say she's been playing biblically?
No, diddling. Diddling.
D-I-D-D-L-Y-I-N-G. Right. God, you will quit.
Oh, you watch out. That sounds like Dick Dobbs. You better watch out.
Yeah, Dick Dobbs. Dick Dobbs channeling. Yeah, Katie, watch that. I mean, this TV will lead to no good, so you can play with it. But it's just diddling must remain the focus on what you're learning here.
I agree.
All right, enough of that. You guys can have the microphone.
Is it necessary to feel pain in order to feel bliss? And you're thinking about polarities. Can you feel bliss if you've never felt pain?
No,
you don't even know what it is.
Yeah, you claim that. You claim we don't know nothing.
So far, you've been proving that bias time and time again.
Well, you don't have to talk through a megaphone. Use your regular phone.
Good job, good. You got her forehead.
I'm going to be getting a computer soon. Which do you think the best lessons I can learn from you? Revelation, angels, what do you think will be good for me?
Good for you. Somehow you're staggering along this thing called life, and you've done well.
Not as well as I'd like to. I want to change a lot.
Okay, so you want to adjust your premise. So if you adjust your premise, then there are words we have spoken that would encase your positions that allow you to change. Start with Revelations Revealed.
And, Renee, did you know that the first four chapters of Revelation is free on ionandbob.blogspot.com?
No, I didn't know.
You can get that free there. But, Bob, where would that be located?
Go to Revelations under the archive, under R. You look up the Revelations, and it's right there, the first three chapters. Renee can read
three chapters.
Yeah.
Okay, people, jump in.
I know.
What,
Renee? Where is my portal in my house?
The mirror in the living room.
Oh, my God. I always thought there was something about it.
Renee, do you have a mirror in your living room?
Yes, I do.
Well, Ian's correct. Ian's finally correct. One.
Because I wanted to get the picture, but I didn't have work yet, and it would be facing that mirror.
Ian's looking at you right now. If he can see your house, he can see you. He's looking at you.
Don't look so great.
Yeah. and get dressed.
Oh, you didn't see me. I was supposed
start
to go
shaking
out
your vagina because I am looking.
Who called in at 858 number? Just came
this
in.
This is Kim by.
Oh, how you doing, Kim? You got a question for Ion?
About, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that the Jubilee had occurred. And I was trying to get some clarification on what you meant by Jubilee. Did you mean because the drops?
What I understand the Jubilee is 1960 to 2010, 50 years. And we came into the blood moon December 21st.
And Bob,
Ian said that 50-year period, 1960 to 2010, was the Jubilee that's referred to in one of the Bible chapters. So, Kim, that's the background. Ask your question.
Bob said the Jubilee had occurred from 1960 to 2010. And I'm asking, was that the Jubilee, or is it? Are we in the middle of a Jubilee now from 2011 on?
That is past.
That is past tense.
Does that relate to us redoing 1960 to 2010, redoing history?
Yes.
Remaking it? So the old one is past. We can make a new one.
Well, we'd say you have.
Oh, yeah, we have done it. What are the geckos thinking? They're doing a lot of activity around here every Saturday.
They're our spies. They're our minions. They work for us.
They're watching.
They spit on the threshold of the windows, too.
Yeah. And what do they make of the vibration that you're putting out here?
It's not us, it's you.
All right. Back to you guys.
In the Dark Horse, it says it's in the palm of your hand now, baby.
Yes.
I've heard you say before that there's an application in our hand. Would you say more about that? Because I want to know how to applicate whatever's in my hand.
That's a good question. Do you know the Dark Horse?
Yes.
Tell me.
Well, I know the song. Is it something that will come against you if you turn against your non-physical?
It's not about that. It's very interesting. It's in the palm of your hand now, baby. It's a yes. It's a no. No, maybe. That's the whole point. That's what we're trying to come to. So here's the whole point of it. It's in the palm of your hand of your ascension. You came. We knew you were going to come. You knew you were going to come here. And all we're saying is just make sure you choose carefully. Because now, just now, I, non-physical, am capable of anything, and everything. Make me whatever you want to make me. Make me your Aphrodite. Make me your one and only. But don't make me your enemy, your enemy, your enemy.
Is it that you respond to us in the way that we perceive you?
Basically, if you want to play with magic, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine. You want to play with magic? No problem. You just better know what you're falling for. That's what Bob's been saying since itch, even before scratch. Baby, do you dare to do this? And if you do, then we're coming at you like a dark horse. And it'll be likened to you a perfect storm. Because once you're mine, that's where Bob says, there's no going back.
Is there something about our hand in particular? Because that's related to the other thing you said about the application.
The thickening ascension. Ascension is noted by the thickening or the more durability or elasticity of the dermis of your hand. So it's already in the palm of your hand now, baby.
Yes, because my hands do feel different.
They are different.
Ion, are you influencing all music and all movies and media? Yeah, okay.
I heard a lot about that last night. I just want to say, Ion, so what you're saying is if you engage with Ion, like we have the opportunity on this show the last few years, you can't step back and sue Ion because you've been changed, right?
Why would you want to sue him?
Ha-ha! But Ion, if you engage with Ion, you cannot claim that you
Welcome
were duped. Or could you, Ion?
If you sue or try to sue non-physical, you can. But here's the deal. If you do, you become the plaintiff and the defendant. See, you are the distance between you and you. But you certainly can. It's all right. It'll be fine. It's all shits and giggles for us.
Is that what you're getting at? Engaging with Ion is engaging with magic? Is that your point here in the Dark Horse lyric?
No. No. You think it's magic because you don't know ascension. You come to us in a little nothing state. You don't know nothing about nothing. You can't find out nothing if we prove that. You run around the world like a rat and you figure out the early bird gets the worm and then the second mouse gets the cheese. Then you come into this position where you want to know something. And then we tell you something. And then you think you know something. And then you turn around and then you know what you know. And then you decide you don't need no non-physical. You don't need a stenographer. You don't need anything. You know everything. I'm everything. I know everything. I can do everything. Who the fuck y'all think you are trying to tell us something in the first place? We forgot more than you'd ever know.
You just described everybody I've met in the last 4 years. Every single person.
Pretty much. And then what happens is you decide you want to ascend. So we say, okay. And so we show you and tell you what to do. And so you start down that sometimes long Emmaus Road or short Damascus Road. There are two roads. One's pretty quick and the other one's a long, drawn-out process. That's okay. Either one applies and works just fine. Then what happens is you find yourself coming into a place where you go, oh, I'm better than I was. I'm not ascended yet, but I'm better than I was. Then you start finding that you are indeed playing with what you call magic. Not magic to us. That's the reason we say in the song, so you want to play with magic. Just know what you're doing. Don't engage non-physical unless you know what you're doing. If you're getting benefits from it, then engage those benefits, not a problem. You want to be a god? Be a god. No problem. We're just saying once you start that process, you can't unknow it. Mm-hmm. There's no going back. You can't unknow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's like creation.
So is it true then the statement to, is it that you're saying don't go halfway? Either you're all in or you're not.
Mm-hmm. No, we're saying decide.
They know
just
what you're doing.
But you don't, so you can't. We'll help you with that part. See, that's the thing. We're not saying we won't help you. We have. Don't make us your enemy. You can walk away. No problem. A lot of people do. They don't go for long, but they go do what they do. It's no problem.
I know, and you say it's a dark horse, and it sounds ominous.
No, we said we're going to come at you like a dark horse.
So I don't know what that means.
Oh, okay. In the nighttime, and something's running at you really hard and bigger than you, and it's dark and you can't see it, especially if it's not a white horse, if it's a dark horse, it'll be on you before you ever know it.
That does sound kind of scary.
You like a dark horse. It'll be a little more scary. We promise.
Are you referencing the black horse in the Revelations?
Yes.
Okay.
And how is that not on it?
The dark horse, not a brown horse.
It's a black horse.
Oh, so we can see a little better. It's not a black horse.
Okay. So the part that says, so you want to play with magic, could also be said as, so you want to create, or you should know what you're falling for?
No, but you already are creating. You know that. Even if you don't know it, you are. So that's a given. It's the next phase. It's when you start activating the non-physical that's yours. It's yours already. All of it.
The black horse, as I understand it, represents also the third level of heaven.
That's Bob.
Bob, you say it's
is that like Solomon
representing the third level of heaven. Like the first level of heaven is the white horse. And the second
first,
is the red horse.
First.
And then the black horse and then the pale horse.
I don't think those are levels of heaven. They might be, but don't ask me. I'm on my third time through. I'm re-asking all those questions. You can, too.
There's obviously a significance of the dark horse and the black horse in Revelations. And so I'm wondering if there's something else that he's trying to tell us.
We are.
Does it have to do, like, across the board, all three levels, I mean, all the third levels, or all the three, like, the third beast, the face of man? Is that involved also?
Well, it's all inclusive. But don't make it hard. All we're saying is you engage it, ascend, come to it, but don't make yourself your enemy. Because if you don't make yourself your enemy, we won't have this conversation.
Do you don't destroy, they'll destroy.
Okay, so have a good relationship with yourself. Love yourself.
Make me your Aphrodite. Make me your one and only. But don't make me your enemy, your enemy, your enemy.
Because that's separation.
Remember?
It's connecting like the peanut butter sandwich and you're not versus separating.
Oh, my stars, how wonderful. We love that analogy. Bob won't let us use it anymore, but we adore that because it's a peanut butter sandwich. Love, Dr. Dean, be careful. That may be what the Fireside Chat's about is the protein laced in peanut butter.
the protein, yeah.
Mark my words, this love will make you levitate like a bird without a cage, but down to earth. If you choose to walk away, don't walk away. Don't walk away. It's already in the palm of your hand. This is like talking to Bob. It's yes. It's no. No. Maybe. Just be sure before you give it all to me, all to me, all to me. So if you want to play with magic, you better know what you're falling for. Baby, do you dare to do this? Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready for it? Ready for a perfect storm? A perfect storm.
It all comes together.
Well, speaking of storms,
six white horses.
Ion, there's been some pretty big storms lately, and
blowing, activated. Everything's getting activated.
Yeah.
So yes, it is.
Six white horses. Six white horses.
It's the wind blowing. It's activating.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple funnels of tornadoes landing at the same
The double time. Helixes. 144,000.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Is that the wind?
We can. Do you want us to? The winds have already been released.
Yes.
That started from the Joplin, Missouri conundrum.
Hey, what about the storm that
My
Bill
grandparents were married
right
there in Joplin.
What about the storm right now? Is it coming towards the station, Bill, where Bill is right now? He's worried about
He should.
Where's Bill?
Bill should worry.
Oh, but what? Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Bob.
Where's Bill?
What? Bob. Hey, Bob.
South Dakota.
Hey, Bob.
South Dakota.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, Bob. What's the probability?
Yeah, what's the probability, Bill? What's the probability?
Toy with you. Okay.
So the winds have been released. The angels were controlling the winds before. Now they've relinquished control. And so is there anything controlling the winds now?
That's Bob.
Well, another meeting now. There's another meeting to the winds. It's activating your DNA. And the angels were holding that back. And now it's released.
Right.
So you can come into your power. You can ascend.
You can dance away if you're a lucky man, if you have someone whom you can trust.
So the winds were a metaphor. We're not really talking about wind.
So we're talking about winds that blow your house down.
It's both, right?
Uh-huh.
But the winds
can you talk about that a little, Ion? The tree of life, the branches.
Sometimes if you've got enough bourbon, you can do the branch real easy, but don't put much ice, you'll water it down.
That's one way to get your spirits going.
Get your spirits going, yeah. Get your rocks off, though.
Hey, Bob. Remember when Ashley and Duffy and Terry and I were in our spots?
Yeah.
In the Pacific Northwest, and Ion said, this is when the four winds are blowing.
Yes.
There was some mention made of that. What about that, Ion?
Still blowing.
It's still blowing.
Did it start then?
January 12th, 2011 is when the wind started.
Okay.
Rush Limbaugh's birthday.
1-12-12?
Yes.
And we just happened to be sitting, the four of us, in a configuration that was kind of fun to match up with that.
Were there four of you?
Even Ion
yes.
knew to duck. Ion became not available to the public at that point. It ran
duck,
from the wind.
Duck goose.
Yeah, duck goose themselves.
So does that mean that we're at the tail end of the winds?
No.
They're almost
this is the beginning.
just the beginning.
The beginning.
There's the four winds, east, south, north, east, west, and it represents...
If you're standing on Polo Beach and you're facing west, which part of your back of your head is windy?
I got asked you that all the time.
The south part.
Yeah, if you're staring at north and the wind's coming at you, where's your back of your head looking?
Now, the reason he's laughing so hard is that we've done this and done this and done this. From an Australian wind, we'd say, hey, Bob, if you're standing on Polo Beach and you're facing south and the wind's blowing in your face, where's the wind coming from? He says, north. We say, well, if it's coming from the north, it would hit you in the back of your head. So he decided then that all winds from Australia are coming to the back of his head, no matter which way he's facing now.
That's right. It served me well.
Yeah.
I gave up visual space. I stopped looking, and I started learning.
Mm.
How can everybody protect their homes? And the purpose of the winds is to activate?
Protect your Bob. Protect your Bob. He's tied to the mast. He can't even feel or see anything. He has to depend on us to be like, hey, reference me, and I'll tell you what's going on, Bob. But you just, like, be up there and sleep. It'd be, come on, people. You might.
Well, we just asked Bob about the winds.
Sarah is indubitably clear today.
Bob, can you share with us what Ian told you about the winds?
Well, Ian thinks I'm a fucking idiot. You know, Ian has not much to say to me other than, Bob, you're never going to get it. You are the dark soul. We thought you were Santa Claus. We don't even rate it that. You're a failure. Bob, buzz off. Now, Dr. Dean, let's have a fireside chat with Dr. Dean.
I'd rather ask Ion, what is the significance of the wind?
Call me a mustard.
It means...
Hey, Ion, they're getting pretty good
four
at asking these talking over each other.
They're
the
double helixes.
It's good. It's good. We like it because we hear them all. We like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go back get a little Brian action. Well, y'all better wake Sheila up. This will get going here.
When the wind's not blowing, not activated, the arms on the
DNA. That's where Barb gets going. When the winds aren't blowing, then Barb gets going.
The winds need to be very violent and be that violent and.
Yes, Bob, are you asking us to experience violence? Is that what you're asking us for?
That's what Dave Worsher.
No, I mean, that's...
Now, listen,
you guys,
Sarah,
that's
what quoting Dave Worsher. Dave Worsher.
I'm talking about the window. I sprinkled in some woo-woo. That's what I did.
Dave Worsher, in the fall of 66, he asked Krishnamurti, it's on the film, he says, are you asking us to experience violence, Krishnamurti?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes.
That
I'm asking you to experience violence, Barbara.
I'm just referencing what the winds, what I was talking about in the Revelation series.
You're only referencing what you know. You're always talking
just
about what you know.
Experience violence and then allow Dr. Dean to adjust your level of your threshold of pain. It's no big deal. It's really easy.
It's
I do it every Saturday, all the whole thing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sunday. That was Sunday, too.
I know. It's so pleasurable that I forget there's two different ones. Days, I mean.
Oh, we haven't done it
before or after the orgy.
Did you say about yesterday, Eve?
Speaking of orgy, we have an update from Kiggy. Kiggy says, I was a dark soul, but I repented. Now I am simply one living in the darkness of being cast out. I was not drunk when I wrote on chat. The beer wore off. So you were wrong, Sarah. He was not drunk. That's why he could type so clearly.
No, he was specifically not drunk all of a sudden. So he noticed in sobriety what he wanted to say, and he poignantly wrote it, probably.
Hey, bad news. Sky Goddess Sue writes in from Toronto. Hi, Bob. We'll call in my question next week. Got to get up to fly in 4 hours. More James Joyce photos to send you. Yes, thank you for the photo, Sue, but Sue ain't going to be around anymore. So it's sort of downhill from here in.
Oh, darn. Well,
hey, Ion, any comment on the movie Frequencies?
Watch it.
Did you create it?
We didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
Ion, the words that were used in the movie, that was part of the book, was that like angel speak?
A version of it. We couldn't put the real thing out, it would make things up.
Which movie are you guys talking about?
Frequency, and they also have the five bodies in there.
Always.
Nah, that's probably some theosophical claptrap. They don't have the TV body. They have to use my words.
Well, I have the origin.
Elizabeth Mitchell, she's hot, isn't she?
Do you agree, Allison? Is there five bodies mentioned in Frequency?
I would say so, yes.
Well, they don't use my words, do they?
They don't use your words, but they're extensions. They're not. It's not just chemical. It's digital. And
I'm asking Allison.
I would say they do mention it, but I can't really refer to it as each body, so I'm not sure what to say.
Hey, Bob, one of the actors is the guy in Person of Interest, Jim Caviezel.
Yeah, his dad is Dennis Quaid.
Really?
Oh,
in the movie, but in real life?
Well, yeah, and then what we're talking about is the movie?
No, there's another one, Ion, another one called Frequencies that was out of the UK, a different one.
Okay, Ion, are there two Frequencies movies, Ion?
Oh, there's lots of them.
Okay, so what do you say, Allison? Have you got to clarify which
Frequencies? I was trying to relate to the one that's the UK movie. It sounded like it was a Fosso Law kind of reference.
Mozart. And they talk about when you combine, it's kind of, what's the word, cohesive, like your energy's not chaotic, or your frequency.
Divine spiral pi is actually just infinity, which is just 8 from perspective. Isn't that all?
Huh? Sarah, did you see the movie?
No.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry.
He's trying to connect.
Well, what I loved, Ion, what I loved was today, and when I saw it, and Barbara, you might remember this, I saw it, and there was a moment when they said, it's a reset. And I was just blown away. I was like, what? Oh, my God. So is that
I remember him saying that, but I don't remember which part that was.
Did you write that in, Ion?
So how do we say that? We're trying to change human interaction.
And because we can view this and you are a part of it, it's changing our interaction with you.
Well, it's kind of like eternal sunshine of a spotless mind meets days of summer.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, it has to do with also harmonizing. Everything's not so chaotic or everything syncs up when you throw in the Mozart, the music, that music, the classical music, and the effect that that music has on people. And in the end, there was a doctor giving out prescriptions of what to listen to and how often.
Yes. Is that a harmonious manipulation of people's sense field through digital quilting?
Digital quilting. Bob, you've ruined another one.
That's my affection term, my pet name for Ion. Come on.
Bob, you ruined another one.
How would you describe destiny versus fate that they talked about a lot in the movie?
Brown cow.
Brown cow. I'm not getting the reference.
He said brown cow because you said how.
I don't know if I said how, but okay, yeah.
One's an adjective and one's a verb.
Good.
One's an adjective and one's a noun, or it's a verb.
Verb.
Love is a verb. Love is a verb.
Love is a force field.
Fate versus destiny.
Fate versus destiny. It's not in the form of a question, but we'll get you there. Hey, Ion, is there a way to describe the difference between fate versus destiny, or is there a way to embrace the two? We said, yeah. We're going to answer the question, but we've got to get your definition first because you already have established biases that now we have to overcome. We're happy to do that, but we got to begin to catch up everybody else. Because homie don't play that like that, Brian doesn't play that like that. So give us your work definition of, say, fate.
Okay, I don't have a computer in front of me.
The will or principle or determining cause by which things in general are believed to come to be as they are or events to happen as they do. Now you go into destiny, which is an inevitable and often adverse outcome condition or end. Final outcome, expected result of normal development, fate of embryonic cells, the circumstances that befall someone or something. Did not know the fate of her former classmate.
Short version, shit happens.
There you go. There's our boy.
So fate is not necessarily a positive thing.
Ordained, it's foreordained.
Fate.
Great or noble course. A lot, a portion. Imply a distribution by fate or destiny. Lot, suggesting blind chance. It was her lot to die childless. Portion, implying the apportioning of good and evil. Remorse was his daily portion. Doom distinctly implies a grim or calamitous fate. If the rebellion fails, his doom is certain.
That was fate. So it seems like there's no choice there. It's just if it's something fated, it's like you're on this path and there's no way of switching it up.
Is that a way to lose responsibility for something in your life? Like a way to let go of something that you hate having around?
No, I mean, the reason I was brought it up is because of the movie Frequency. It was a theme. They were trying to determine whether everything was fated or did people actually have a destiny. So they seemed like the similar, but destiny seems like there's some choice involved.
Something.
Destiny. Something to which a person or thing is destined. Fortune. Wants to control his own destiny. Predetermined course of events often held to be an irresistible power or agency.
So that the person is not responsible for that. I don't know.
It can't be. It's already settled.
Well, they both sound the same then.
Yeah, they're very similar.
No, they're not. They're not. We're just going by what you say. That's the reason you'd ask it. It's a good question. You'd ask the question because what you say, well, actually, we're having to give you what you say, which is kind of a misnomer. And there's that fate or destiny.
Well, fate is more negative than destiny itself. Destiny is more...
No, neither are neither.
That it's implication or...
you perceive it.
You can't infer a positive or negative from a preordained outcome that you've already established.
Well, there's another definition that says destiny, a power that is believed to control what happens in the future. Or what happens in the future, the things that someone or something will experience in the future. Destiny.
But now that's what you say it is. Now let's discuss it.
No, it doesn't mean that you can't control it. It just is what it is.
You can control it. It doesn't say you can control it. It just says that you don't want to. It's already worked out.
Why do we bring up old shit? Is that kind
of
like...
Welcome to our world.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome is this kind world. Of a good place to say, don't you guys feel like Ion might be saying, why you guys always got to bring up old shit?
How is this old shit?
She don't mean this. She means in the conversation of, we go through, what is this ascension we went through? It's like, okay. But it makes no difference what the topic is. It's all about coming into your place of power. So is it already fated that you're going to ascend? Barbara?
I want to say yes.
Then done. Then stop. Then it is. Okay, who did that fating? You or God? Or God?
Which is me. God.
Okay.
I am.
So if you go against that, then you're going against God, right?
Right.
Now you're getting somewhere. Your mind can embrace that. See, you can go with that. You go, oh, okay, so it's all right because God said it was okay.
And I'm the one who said it was okay. And I'm God.
Now, fate is something was decided and you didn't get the memo. Destiny, you drive. Fate is what you step in when you don't look where you've been.
Are these like little myths definitions?
Little Man certainly engaged all these wordy words in the Gutenberg galaxy. We'd wished for something very different.
Can Ian tell us their definition?
We just did.
So at the end of the movie, when the last character, I forgot the guy's name, the blonde guy, he said, now I got it. He's like, oh, yeah, now, or he got the answer to this big formula about how it all worked. Is this what he was referring to, Ion? He was contemplating the couple getting together, and they were going through this conversation. He was kind of watching it all take place and how
should have been Zach.
Zach. I'm sorry, what was
Daniel
the question
Fraser.
About the actor that played Zach?
Yes.
They were talking about the destiny and the fate thing at the very end, and she said, does it matter? Like how they... Never mind. Allison, do you have anything to comment about the frequency movie?
Whoa. Don't you drop that 1 second. You're doing just fine. The point is, what you're trying to say is, can the timeline of a fatalistic destiny be outlined and rewritten? And the answer is, just like in the movie, most certainly.
But that's a limiting perspective.
Can be a lemon curd also.
Well, wait, Allison, what do you mean it can be limiting? Because it's saying that it can be rewritten. So it's not
right.
Limited.
Well, that's why we said it's lemon curd.
How do you mean that, Ion? Lemon curd. It's a,
Isn't it delicious? Yes, wonderful. Yes, it is. It's bright and tart. And it's
nice amazing.
On your palate. It's amazing. It's when you make
butter your bread.
Seriously, butter your
toast with lemon curd and then put your jam or preserves on it. It's amazing.
It is indeed. And if you do it just right, you know what Bob will say? We really knocked this one out of the park.
Is that because you can put, is just right if you put it on warm toast?
It's heaven. It's like silk. It's like butter.
So that's how your life can be, because you can rewrite it.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Exactly. Another example.
And now you're just looking at the contrast of the different flavors you can add to a lemon curd.
Yes. It's like chocolate gravy.
Oh, chocolate gravy. Mm.